मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। Okay, so we're discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text 9. Yatra vidroma sopana,
Yatra vidroma sopana,
Mahamara katabuha,
Mahamara katabuha,
Yatra spatika kudayani,
Yatra spatika kudayani,
Vaidurya stamba pank. So, what have we seen till now? So, we are diving deep in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj invoking or calling out. He didn't call. So, Narasimha Dev manifesting himself to save Prahlad and kill Hiranyakashipu. And now Hiranyakashipu's atrocious activities have already started. After so many days. So we're discussing this subject for almost 27 days. Today is the 27th day or something like that. So it's going on. And today we'll see that what all things Hiranyakashipu is doing. So this particular shloka describes about the interior design. Interior design of Swargaloka. So let's see what all things are there. And you can compare if you know those things are there at your home also. Translation: the steps of King Indra's residence were made of coral. Now, coral is not a brand, it's the coral from the ocean. The floor was bedecked with invaluable emeralds. The walls were of crystal and the columns of Vaidurya stone. So Vaidurya is a blackish stone. And Vaidurya Mani is used to compare the complexion of Lord Vishnu. The wonderful canopies were beautifully decorated. The seats were bedecked with rubies, and the silk bedding, as white as foam, was decorated with pearls. The ladies of the palace, who were blessed with beautiful teeth and the most wonderfully beautiful faces, walked here and there in the palace. Their ankle bells tinkling melodiously, and saw their own beautiful reflections in the gems. The demigods, however, being very much oppressed, had to bow down and offer obeisances at the feet of Hiranyakashipu, who chastised the demigods very severely and for no reason. The Hiranyakashipu lived in the palace and severely ruled everyone. So now we see that Hiranyakashipu is staying in a very, very beautiful palace. So people say that we are progressing, we have a lot of opulence. No, what is the opulence compared to this? Max to max, our opulence is some design with POP. And maybe some plastic and some wood and things like that around. But then look at this. The furnitures and the floor and the walls and the pillars and everything is made up of valuable gems. And also, so the maidservants, look at this. The maidservants, you know, they're so beautiful. The maid servants are beautiful, or you know, there are a lot of beautiful girls walking around to serve. So we understand that it's our myth that we are very, you know, we are very opulent, or this place is very opulent, this world is very opulent, or we are enjoying nothing. In fact, our enjoyment is nothing in front of the enjoyment what people have in heavenly planets. And the enjoyment that people have in heavenly planets, they are nothing when it's compared to Janaloka, Tapaloka and Brahmaloka and what these people are enjoying. The enjoyment that is there in higher three planetary systems or higher three planets, those are nothing as compared to the enjoyment or the bliss that a person gets when he reaches Brahman. The effulgence coming up from the body of the Lord. And it is said that the enjoyment or the happiness that is felt in Brahman is not even a particle of the drop of the big ocean of bliss that is there in Goloka Vrindavan. Can you imagine the happiness that is there in these spiritual planets? But since people don't know that what is there in spiritual planet, since people don't know how blissful it is to be in the spiritual planet, now we are settled here in this material world. And what are we doing throughout our life? Where is happiness? Where is happiness? Like pure devotees go around and they shout, Krishna kothai, Krishna kothai, Krishna kothai. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And when it comes to materialist, where is happiness? Where is bliss? Where is happiness? Where is bliss? And finally, they end up dying without getting answer of this. But we are so fortunate to understand from Srimad Bhagavatam that that complete bliss is there in the spiritual world. And here, in this particular verse, the section of verse that we have taken, so this particular set of verses are talking about the beauty and the opulence of heavenly planets. Now just compare or just think about the opulence that will be there in the spiritual world. Just think about it. And here we see that Hiranyakashipu, anyways, we'll read the purport and then maybe we'll discuss. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful in the heavenly planets that all the demigods except Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu were forced to engage in his service. Indeed, they were afraid of being severely punished if they disobeyed him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has compared Hiranyakashipu to Maharaj Vaina, who was also atheistic and scornful of the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yet Maharaj Vaina was afraid of some of the great sages such as Bhrigu, whereas Hiranyakashipu ruled in such a way that everyone feared him but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Hiranyakashipu was so alert against being burned to ashes by the anger of great sages like Bhrigu that by dint of austerity he surpassed their power and placed even them under his subordination. It appears that even in the higher planet systems to which people are promoted to pious activities, disturbances are created by asuras like Hiranyakashipu. No one in the three worlds can live in peace and prosperity without disturbance. So we might think, oh, this earthly planet is not a very good place to stay. So we might think, oh, let's go to Swarga. Many of the different organizations, they teach or they do rituals to go to Swarga. But even in Swarga, same thing. Birth, death, disease, old age. The only thing is there, the lifespan is huge. And the person might not get old very fast. He might have a lot of strength in the body for many, many celestial years. So those things are there. But what is the use of all that? Finally, the person has to die. So anyone who is there in the material world, he has to die. Be it Narka, be it Swarga, be it earthly planet. Everyone. What to talk about these? Even Brahmaloka people. Even they have to leave their bodies. And here we see what Hiranyakashipu was doing was, he was unnecessarily, first he got all the demigods under his control. And then he would order, do this, do that, etc. Let me see if that is covered in the next few verses. Yeah, it will come. So he would order everyone. And if someone does not do, he's gone. That particular demigod is gone. And here, Hiranyakashipu, without any reason, he'll chastise the demigods. Without any reason. Now just imagine how humiliating that is. Demigods are the administrative heads of this entire universal administration. And this person, by the benediction given by Brahma, he became so powerful that he got all those administrators under him. And unnecessarily, he's just chastising. Unnecessarily. And then here we see, that only three personalities were spared. Brahma, Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So these three personalities were untouched by Hiranyakashipu. And even if he tries, maybe he cannot reach them. Obviously, he cannot reach Vishnu. Because Vishnu is not there in this material world. And I mean, his abode is in Vaikuntha. So he can never find. In fact, Hiranyakashipu in future verses we'll see that he went around searching for Vishnu, but he couldn't find. And there Acharya is right. He forgot to search in his heart because Vishnu was there in the heart. As Shiro Dakshaya Vishnu was Paramatma, he was there in the heart, but he forgot to search his heart. 13th verse. Oh my dear king, Hiranyakashipu was always drunk on strong smelling wines and liquors, and therefore his coppery eyes were always rolling. Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed great austerities in mystic yoga, although he was abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, personally worshipped him to please him by bringing him various presentations with their own hands. In Skanda Puran, there is this description, Upayanam daduhu sarve vina devan Hiranyakaha. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that everyone but the three principal demigods, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, engaged in his service. Madhvacharya says, Aditya Vasavo Rudras Trividahi Surayataha. There are three kinds of demigods, the Adityas, the Vasus, and the Rudras, beneath whom are the other demigods, like the Maruts and Sadhyas. Therefore, all the demigods are called Tripishtapa, and the word Tri applies to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. So this is the details that is mentioned about Hiranyakashipu. So he was always drunk. Always drunk and harassing all the demigods. And which all demigods were there? Except Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, everyone were there. Everyone under him. Text 14. O Maharaj Yudhishthir, descendant of Pandu, by dint of his personal power, Hiranyakashipu, being situated on the throne of King Indra, controlled the inhabitants of all the other planets. The two Gandharvas, then Vishwavasu and Tumburu, I myself and the Vidyadharas, Apsaras and sages all offered prayers to him again and again just to glorify him. The Asuras sometimes become so powerful that they can engage even Narada Muni and similar devotees in their service. This does not mean that Narada was subordinate to Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes, however, it so happens in this material world that great personalities, even great devotees, can also be controlled by Asuras. So, the great devotees like Narada Muni might be controlled by Asuras, but the important point to understand here is that the devotees are never affected by these demons. Never affected. Because they are busy in their own world. They are completely absorbed in thinking about Krishna. Completely absorbed. So they are there in their own world. So whatever externally is happening, they are least bothered. And these are the tests also sometimes our crooked Lord Krishna, he'll put such tests in between. And all these great personalities, they pass the test. They pass the test. And then, you know, Krishna is very pleased with them. Here we see that all these people, all these Gandharvas and Vishwavasus, Tumburu, Vidyadharas, etc., all these are great personalities, all are superhuman beings, you can say. So all of them, they were offering prayers to Hiranyakashipu. Means glorification. So this glorification has to be understood, the importance of glorification. So in this world, when we offer glorification to anyone, for that matter, any mortal being in this world is offered glorification, firstly, he is not completely qualified enough to take the glorification. And secondly, people don't glorify, even if he has some qualities. And even if people glorify, people don't get anything in return for the glorification. And that is the reason people don't glorify. In fact, this happened with me in my office when I was working. So, one of the senior employee, so that particular employee was helping me out with one project. And then, you know, one nice document was made and that was sent to us. So, I was very pleased, you know, because she was a lady and she had a small kid. And still entire night she was awake and she made the document and she sent me. And then what I did was, you know, just as a gesture, so I CC'd our manager and I sent her a glorification message, a glorification mail saying, thank you so much. You know, because of people like you, you know, neophytes like me are able to work here and complete the project and so on and so forth. She got so scared, she texted me personally on chat and she said, Arey, why did you send this mail? The manager will think that I have given you some goose for doing this or something like that. On that day, I was just thinking that in this material world, you cannot glorify also. And even if you glorify, people cannot take it. People cannot take it. They will always be insecure. Why this person is glorifying me? And this is what we see. Whenever some work has to be done, people glorify. Aap to bahut achha khana banate hain. आप जैसे सारे इंग्रेडिएंट्स मिला, लाइक द वे यू मिक्स ऑल द इंग्रेडिएंट्स टू कुक, ओह इट्स रियली अमेजिंग, यू हैव गॉट सम मैजिक इन योर हैंड, इन फैक्ट यू हैव बीन ब्लेस्ड बाय अन्नपूर्णा देवी हरसेल्फ. And then after that, you know, the person might say, actually, we have a program in the house. If you come and cook, that will be very nice. So in this world, we see that people glorify to get some work done. That is for sure. Hardly anyone, you know, when it comes to devotee circle, they glorify selflessly. But outside, it becomes very difficult to comprehend also why this person is glorifying. And then if you just scratch a bit, then you'll understand what is the job that has to be done. So here we understand in this world, when we glorify any mortal being, it's of no use. It's of no use. But still, as devotees, we have to glorify the genuine qualities. But when we glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the wonderful things will manifest. All the wonderful qualities will manifest. Because when we glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happens is we get purified. We get purified. That's what we get in return. Now, what is that person getting? What will Krishna get? Nothing. What will he get? Krishna is Atmaram. He's Atmaram, completely self-satisfied personality. Completely self-satisfied. Like a simple example, Swadutsav. Example of Swadutsav. In fact, I was just thinking, you know, I'm just taking a tangent. I was just thinking maybe we can celebrate some online Swadutsav. Everything is happening online. So let's see when we can do that. But the only thing is we'll not be able to get others, whatever they have made, that we'll not get. Anyways, coming back to the example. So Swadutsav, your plate is completely filled now with some 25 items. And then you're eating, and finally 2-3 items are remaining. You're full, your tummy is out, and then it's almost filled till here. And then finally the person comes and he says, Prabhuji, this rasgulla is so sweet and so nice and so juicy. Please take it. And we'll be like, I'm satisfied. I'm completely satisfied. I don't want it. Even if rasgulla or halwa or whatever is your favorite, still you'll not be able to take it because it's satisfied. That's what is the case with Krishna. Krishna is completely satisfied. He does not need anyone. He's Atmaram. Now, people put allegations on Krishna saying, he was a woman hunter, woman mongler. He had so many girlfriends, so many wives. But he's Atmaram. He never wanted any of them. They all were behind him. In fact, when Narakasur, when he kidnapped the 16,000 queens from different places, and when Krishna killed Narakasur, and when Krishna entered that palace where all the queens were kept, so they were accustomed to seeing the abominable, ugly looks of Narakasur, but now they saw the beautiful form of Krishna, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, and they were stunned. And all of them, and then Krishna said, "Okay, come, I'll just drop you to your respective places." And they said that now we don't want to go anywhere. And all of them together, they all proposed Krishna together. And Krishna had no option but to accept. Because Kshatriyas have to accept the proposal now when it is given. And Krishna accepted the hands of all those queens. And it is described that when it comes to these wives, Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 Krishnas. And he was there with every single queen every day. It is described that when the wife of Krishna, all those wives, 16,108. Now just imagine, how can someone stay away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So here, when Krishna would be there on the bed, you know, with his wife, the wives would be holding tightly. No, they'll not leave the hand of Krishna. They would be holding the hand tightly of Krishna and they would be resting with Krishna. Who would give up the hand of Krishna? Tell me. You know, when you get the hand of Krishna, when you get this opportunity to be with Krishna, who would give away the opportunity of associating with Krishna? So Rukmini would be, you know, holding tightly, Satyabhama will be holding tightly, and other queens will be holding the hand tightly. And Krishna was not at all attached to any one of them. As soon as it's 3 o'clock, he'll get up, you know, release himself. Go and take bath and then do his morning duties to teach the general public. even, you remember I had given this example of Rasa Leela. In the middle of the night, when all the beautiful girls are there around, one boy and crores of beautiful girls. Krishna expanded himself into crores of form and he was there with each and every gopi. And the dance started. So there was Veena that was played and Mridanga that was played and flute and so many instruments were played. And beautiful songs were sung and this dance started. And every gopi just started feeling, oh, Krishna is with me. As soon as the tinge of transcendental pride came, Krishna left them. Crores of gopis, he just left them. All of them. He's Atmaram. He does not need anyone for his satisfaction. But he's so merciful. He's so merciful that he accepts the offering that is given by us. And tell me, what glorification can we give Krishna? What can we glorify? We can say, oh, you're the creator of this entire universe. You're so great. Ab jagat ke naath ho. You are the naath or you're the master of the entire world. But there is a flaw in our glorification. What are we saying? Entire universe. It's like we go to a company and there the managing director is sitting and then we go and glorify him. Oh, you're such an amazing clerk. So now he holds, he even the MD who is there, he can do the job of a clerk also. Yes, he can do that. It's company. He can do anything. Whatever job he wants, he can do that. But glorifying the MD as a clerk, you know, that's not glorification. That's actually chastisement. That's actually pulling the person down. So our glorifications are like that when it comes to glorifying Krishna. What will we say? Krishna, you're very, very beautiful. Arey Baba, very, very is less. You have to put very, very, very infinite times. Then we are actually glorifying Krishna. And then when we are glorifying Krishna's pastimes, oh Krishna, your pastimes are so sweet. Arey Baba, it's not just sweet. It's sweet. It just goes on. I don't know where is the term. It's that sweet. So when we are glorifying Krishna, our glorifications are not proper. Our glorifications are full of flaws. But look at Krishna. He's so merciful. He accepts that glorification. And then he says, oh, you're glorifying me? Okay, no problem. I'll accept your glorification and then I'll purify you. See the mercy of Lord Krishna. He doesn't need our glorification. He doesn't need our offerings, whatever. What offerings we give? While cooking only, we start thinking what first we'll eat. We're making paneer, sabji and then halwa or whatever. And then we're planning. After offering, I'll eat this first. And after that, I'll eat this. After that, I'll eat this. It is said that Srimati Radharani cooks for Krishna. She is the only cook. Mother Yashoda is also there. So these are two are the exclusive cooks of Krishna. And it is described in Shastra that Srimati Radharani does not repeat any dish. Now, how many dishes she would have made till now? And she's not repeating even a single dish. And what our rasam and rice and pongal and this Krishna would like? Krishna would be attracted to that. Our gulab jamuns and our rasgullas, they are nothing in front of what Srimati Radharani makes. Srimati Radharani's one touch of the finger in the water will make the water sweet. That's how sweet she is. And what cooking we do? We add those contaminated sugar and then contaminated gourd and everything contaminated. And with our contaminated consciousness, we cook. And with contaminated mind, we offer. And we think we're doing great. But actually, for a Jivatma, this is great. Because offering something to Krishna for a Jivatma, Baddha Jiva like us, it's actually great. Because the mind will never allow. Mind will say, no, why are you offering? Eat yourself. No, who is this person? And even when we are offering this contaminated foodstuffs to Krishna, Krishna accepts. No, he says, "Arey, kitna achha bachcha hai. Theek hai, isme bahut sara mitti mila ke laya, but theek hai." Our offerings are like sweet rice with nice topping of sand particles on that. And what are those sand particles? Our contaminated consciousness. And when you offer it to Krishna, Krishna accepts. He just takes the sweet rice and leaves the contaminated or the sand particles on the top. So now tell me, does Krishna need our glorification? Krishna need our offering? Does Krishna need anything from us? Maybe we might say that, oh, I offer the best flower. Okay, best flower of which place? Maybe of your garden. Abhi garden to hai nahi, maybe of your balcony. Or maybe from KR market. But there in the spiritual world, it is described those flowers which are offered to Krishna. When the garlands are made from those flowers, and when the garland is offered to Krishna, that garland never withers away. It's always fresh and extremely fragrant. And what flowers we are offering. And nowadays that rose does not have fragrance at all. Does not have any fragrance. It is dummy rose. It is Apabhramsh version of rose. Only thing it looks like rose we can offer. But where is the smell? Now just imagine, all our offerings are so defective. But how merciful Krishna is. Just to purify all of us, he accepts our offering. Another offering that we do is our chanting. And we all know how we chant. Right? At least I know how I chant. Chanting, and then we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The mind is somewhere else, you know, going around the world. Not preaching, you know, just enjoying and coming back again. And then we are thinking, oh, I chanted 16 rounds today. 64 rounds today. Okay. Usme se kitna actually sune? How many names actually we heard properly? So the point that I'm making here is, Krishna is Atmaram. He doesn't need anything from us. Anything from us. If we are thinking that Krishna is dependent on us, then forget it. Krishna is not dependent on us for anything. We are dependent on Krishna for everything, but still Krishna acts as if he is dependent on us. And then he sends so many people to take us back. He himself comes as Krishna and does his various pastimes. And then he will send his associates like Prabhupada. And then he will send other personalities, other devotees in our life. Krishna sends all these personalities in our life and he behaves as if he needs us. And without us, he'll go crazy. And in fact, this is a fact. When someone goes to spiritual world, there's a case study that is given by Sanatan Goswami, who is the eternal associate of the Lord. He has written this wonderful case study where one devotee whose name was Gop Kumar, he went to Vaikuntha. And from there he went to Goloka. And when he came to Goloka, so Krishna saw Gop Kumar. And then Krishna was playing. He left the play. He saw Gop Kumar. And Gop Kumar saw Krishna. Now who will faint? Gop Kumar has to faint because he has seen Krishna. But in that situation, Gop Kumar fainted. Krishna also fainted. And then both of them got up. Then both of them came together. They embraced each other. And Krishna was crying and crying and crying more than Gop Kumar. And Krishna was saying, where were you? I was waiting for you. Now this person, Krishna, does not need us, to be very frank. But he's so merciful that he gives us some place in his pastimes. He gives us some place in his heart. And he literally takes care of us so nicely. So nicely. He is Atmaram. Whenever we serve Krishna, remembering that he is Atmaram, we have to beg to Krishna, you are Atmaram, you don't need anything. But please accept this small offering from this fallen soul. And then obviously Krishna will accept. Prabhupada writes in the purport that when we offer, Krishna surely accepts. So in this way we see that glorifying Krishna is useful. When we glorify Krishna, we get purified. So whatever katha we speak, whatever katha we listen, that's for Krishna's glorification and for our purification. Whatever chanting we are doing is for Krishna's glorification and for our purification. So in this way, when we understand about who is the right person to be glorified, we'll be actually very blissful to glorify the person. So it is recommended that we devotees should learn some prayers, some nice prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam. We should learn some nice prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam and chant in glorification of Krishna. There's so many beautiful bhajans also. So we can learn those bhajans and glorify Krishna. And Krishna would be happy. Why Krishna would be happy? Not because we're glorifying him. I told you, he's Atmaram. He does not need our glorification. He's happy seeing, oh, these personalities, all these Baddha Jivas, they're glorifying me. Surely they'll come back to me for sure, as fast as possible. So he's happy. He's happy thinking, oh, these personalities will come back to me. Right? So in this way, we understand who is Krishna. Krishna is Atmaram. He does not need anyone. But still, no, he accepts everyone for enjoying with them and giving them bliss, giving them happiness. And here we see the stupid personality, Hiranyakashipu. He's been glorified by all the great personalities in the heavenly planet. And then all of them are glorifying him. Oh, you're such a great person. And Hiranyakashipu is feeling also that he's great. 15th shloka. Being worshipped by sacrifices offered with great gifts by those who strictly followed the principles of Varna and Ashrama, Hiranyakashipu, instead of offering shares of oblations to the demigod, accepted them himself. Sab khud khali. He didn't give anything to anyone. 16. As if in fear of Hiranyakashipu, the planet Earth, which consists of 7 islands, delivered the food grains without being plowed. Thus, it resembled cows like the Surabhi of the spiritual world or Kamadugha of heaven. The earth yielded sufficient food grains, the cow supplied abundant milk, and the outer space was beautifully decorated with wonderful phenomena. So this is very nice. Earth, without plowing, without tilling the field, the crops were getting grown automatically. There were abundant grains. And the cows, without milking the cows, the milk was flowing abundantly. Why? It was all under the fear of Hiranyakashipu. All under the fear of Hiranyakashipu. So in this way, we see in the fear of Hiranyakashipu, okay, here the power has gone. Okay, let's come back. I was saying that don't think that I've got a halo behind. Also, my effulgence is coming from my body. Yes. So in this way, just by the fear of Hiranyakashipu, all these things were happening. And by the fear of Hiranyakashipu, another thing was happening. What was that? By the flowing of their waves, the various oceans of the universe, along with the tributaries, the rivers, which are compared to their wives, supplied various kinds of gems and jewels for Hiranyakashipu's use. These oceans were the oceans of salt water, sugar cane juice, wine, clarified butter, milk, yogurt, and sweet water. So we just know salt water oceans, but there are other oceans also which exist. And what were they doing? Even without a person going and excavating all those gems and other things which were hidden, the oceans themselves were putting it out as an offering to Hiranyakashipu. Purport, the water of the seas and oceans of this planet, of which we have experienced the salty, but other planets within the universe contain oceans of sugarcane juice, liquor, ghee, milk, and sweet water. Now, if some drunkard hears this, there is a liquor of, ocean of liquor, he would go crazy. The rivers are figuratively described as wives of oceans and seas because they glide down to the ocean and seas as tributaries, like the wives attached to their husbands. Modern scientists attempt excursions to the other planets, but they have no information of how many different types of oceans and seas there are within the universe. According to their experience, the moon is full of dust. But this does not explain how it gives us soothing rays from a distance of millions of miles. As far as we are concerned, we follow the authority of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami, who have described the universal situation according to the Vedic literature. These authorities differ from modern scientists who conclude from their imperfect sensual experience that only this planet is inhabited by living beings, whereas the other planets are all vacant or full of dust. So don't think much. It's very difficult to comprehend how the ocean of sugarcane juice and milk and sweet water, ghee, bapre, pure ghee maybe, it's not mixed with dalda, it's pure ghee. So it might be difficult for us to comprehend. There are many, many things in the scriptures which might be very difficult to comprehend. And we have to take a humble position to accept that my small brain cannot comprehend everything given in Shastra. This has to be clear. But then how should I believe in Shastra then? And why should I believe in Shastra? Because whatever little we have applied in our life, we are seeing the change. We're seeing the change in our life. That's a proof that the Shastras work. But we should have that humility to understand that I cannot understand everything that is given in Shastra. Because the Shastras speak spiritual subject matter and I'm a Baddha Jiva stuck in this material body thinking that I am matter. So how can a person who is stuck in this material body understand all the spiritual aspects? It's difficult. But yes, by the mercy of Sri Guru, like Prabhupada, we are able to understand some aspects, or in fact, many aspects of spiritual world and the heavenly planets and our own existence. But whenever we have such verses which talks about something which we cannot comprehend, so at that time, yes, we just accept and we just move forward whenever we're reading Shastra. And when we get liberated, anyways, we'll get to visit all these things, all these places. In spiritual world, is described that the trees which are there, those are huge, huge trees. And those trees are fruit-bearing trees. They're all kalpavrikshas. They can get, just by standing beneath the tree, you know, we can think about whatever we want and the tree will give us. Along with that, trees also have some fruits, you know, very, very nice, huge fruits. So it is described that these trees having these huge fruits, so when they completely ripe, when these fruits completely ripe, they fall with great speed, you know, from a great height. And when they fall on the ground, they splash the juice which is there within them. And so many fruits fall together that there is a juice river that is formed. Like apple juice river, mango juice river, peach juice, banana juice, whatever juice you can think of, and whatever juice you cannot think of, all that is there. And it is described that Krishna, Balram, and all their Gopa friends, they would ask each other, today in which river should we bathe? Orange juice river, mango juice river, which juice river? And it's described when they go to take bath, they will dive in that, they will drink nicely, take bath nicely, come out. And then again go to another place where the, you know, river water, the water is flowing with nice scented fragrance, and they'll go and take bath there. And then go out and play. Again come back. You know, and then there's a river full of a very nice scented oil coming from the flowers. They'll go and massage themselves very nicely. They'll massage Krishna very nicely. Again, go and take bath at different places. Play. Enjoy. Eat the fruits. And then, you know, drink the juice. Isko kehte life. Isko kehte life. What is our life? Working day and night together and then on a weekend, just relaxing on the bed. And we think, life ban gayi meri to. This is life. This is spiritual world. Spiritual world mein life hai. This dunya mein life nahi. So here, when it comes to this liquor, ghee, milk and other things, nothing as compared to the spiritual world. Right? So the point that I'm making is, when you go to spiritual world, you know, you'll be able to see all these things. So one important aspect, why I'm mentioning this again and again is, because when the doubt creeps in, when the doubt creeps in the head, what happens, it acts like a worm. And this worm is really a voracious eater. It starts eating up our entire existence. Entire existence. So this faith we should have, this minimum faith we should have, that yes, now these Shastras are true, it is given by Vyasadeva and I have to believe in it. Maybe I'll not be able to verify everything, but whatever I know I can verify, I'll apply that in my life. And we see that these are all details. But what is the process? Process is chanting the holy names of the Lord. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day without fail, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, automatically the heart gets cleansed. And when the heart gets cleansed, and when the mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Sri Guru flows, automatically the knowledge is revealed within the heart and realizations are given within the heart. Same purport read by multiple devotees, they will have many, many different realizations. Why? Because their levels are different. Their sincerity level is different. So the point that I'm making here is, we might get doubts when we're reading Shastras. Aise ho sakta hai kya? Aise kaise ho gaya? How is it possible? It is possible. Our small brain is not able to comprehend. It is possible. So what am I supposed to do? Chant. Chant and just read for purification. We are not here to verify the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. We are here to purify ourselves. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, every single nectar that flows, you know, from the verses into our ears directly to the heart cleanses our heart. And that's what we need. We don't need anything apart from this. Right? So in this way, we see that all the rivers, all the oceans, they were giving everything possible, whatever is there within them, because they were fearful of Hiranyakashipu. And the valleys between the mountains became fields of pleasure for Hiranyakashipu. By his influence, all the trees and plants produced fruits and flowers profusely in all seasons. So there was nothing called a seasonal fruit. All the fruits were in all the seasons. The qualities of pouring water, drying and burning, which are all qualities of three departmental heads of the universe, namely Indra, Vayu and Agni, were all directed by Hiranyakashipu alone without assistance from the demigods. It is said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayaha. This material world is conducted by fire, water and earth. That is Tejo Vari Mridam, which combine and take shape. Here it is mentioned that the three modes of nature, Prithag Gunan, act under the direction of different demigods. For example, King Indra is in charge of pouring water. The demigod Vayu controls the air and dries up the water, whereas the demigod controlling fire burns everything. Hiranyakashipu, however, by the dint of his austerity performance of mystic yoga, became so powerful that he alone took charge of everything without assistance from the demigods. So it is given that when Hiranyakashipu, he would look at Indra and just raise one of his eyebrows. So at that time, Indra would sprinkle nice, fragrant drops of water on his face. And when Hiranyakashipu would look at sun, the sun would set the temperature according to the mood of Hiranyakashipu. And when the Hiranyakashipu would look at Vayu, whatever is the mood of Hiranyakashipu, accordingly the wind, the breeze will flow, the breeze will blow. This was the power of Hiranyakashipu. Understanding the power of Hiranyakashipu is very important. Only when we understand the power of Hiranyakashipu, we'll understand the power of Prahlad. And we'll relish Prahlad Charita at that time. So in this way, we see that Hiranyakashipu was doing all this. And then in the next verse, it is said, in spite of achieving the power to control in all directions, and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Very important shloka for the day. Please pay complete attention on this shloka. This is an example of asuric life. Atheists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses. But because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women, yet dissatisfaction prevails within human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine, but because people in such a material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu was a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. So what is this shloka basically talking about? So if we properly analyze in our own life, I'm sure all of you all who are attending the Zoom class, we all come from a good background. So all the basic necessities are there in the house. Whatever is needed, that is there. But still, you see, we'll not be satisfied. We'll not be satisfied. And you see the inventions, those are coming up one after another. So like just by sitting at one place, with the remote in the hand, you can switch on the light, switch on the fan, switch on the TV. And then now before the phone, which was there, that was only used for calling. And that too, that was a very rare call. In fact, if call comes, there will be huge celebration. And then slowly, then that phone, which was huge, that became compact and compact and compact. And finally, we have got this mobile phone. And then in this mobile phone, we have got so many features now, so many. Everything we can do in this mobile phone, reading can be done, watching videos and songs and whatever. And if time permits, we can call also. So we can do everything, most of the thing when it comes to this phone. In fact, when a lot of other applications are installed, which are compatible to various gadgets in the house, just by using the phone, people control various gadgets in the house. So even when this entire humanity has come to a level of controlling the surrounding with one click of a button, still the humanity is not happy. Still they are not happy. before the females would literally struggle so much to make chutney. They would have that big grinding stone and they would, you know, go on and on and on. They would put a lot of other ingredients. They'll keep, you know, doing that. And now there's a mixer. You know, they put everything and zrrr, but still people are not satisfied. Still people are not satisfied. Before, to make flour from wheat and rice and whatever, the females would sit together. They'll be singing songs and just, you know, they'll just be going around and round and round with that particular stone setup that was there. And now, you know, that atta is there. Whatever brands are there, which comes in the packet. And they also called it chakki ka atta. But, you know, it's a pure atta. We have not mixed anything in that. That's what they say, but we don't know how much true it is. Still people are not satisfied. When it comes to cooking, females would literally, even now, you know, many of the genuine ones, they literally struggle in the kitchen, you know, in front of the fire in the hot summer. In Bangalore, we don't have hot summers. In Mumbai, at least, we saw, you know, a lot of, it's hot summer, literally hot summer. And in north, you know, it's, we can just go out and on the road, we can maybe, you know, fry our whatever, chapatis and puris or whatever. So when the situation was like that, still when females would go and they would cook, they would feel, you know, so much of distress, so much of uncomfortable situation they have to go through. But now when they're ready to eat foodstuffs, you take hot water, put the hot water in that ready to eat whatever stuff that is given, and you just mix it. It's ready. But still people are not happy. They're not happy. The point that I'm trying to make here is, whatever we get in our life, which makes our life easy, still the person will go crazy. He'll never be happy. Never be happy. Before, people would go, you know, from different, people would go from one place to another in search of food. And they were unhappy. Now the people, after eating food, they go one place to another, you know, digest that food. Still they're not happy. Before, you know, people would have, they have to walk for long distances to meet someone. Now people have cars and they go from one place to another. But when they come back to home, they keep running at one place, which is called a treadmill. To, you know, to burn off all the calories or burn off all the fat which is there in the body because of traveling in the car or sitting in the same place in the AC. So we see, we say that we're progressing. But the fact is, you know, progress kuch nahi ho raha hai. Agar progress ho bhi raha hai, toh kahan hai happiness? You know, where is that happiness? Yes. And everyone is searching for the happiness. Everyone is searching for happiness. And we see that this world, which is termed as Dukkhalayam, where only Dukkha is there, when we are searching for happiness, we are the biggest fools on this place. Yes. And you know why all these things are happening? Because of our uncontrolled senses. See, a devotee, when he perfects his life, he can be happy even in this world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, but still the devotee can be happy in this world because his senses are under control. Our senses are out of control. Like, for example, some favorite dishes made, we go on eating and eating and eating and eating. The stomach is saying, bas karo bhai, bas karo, and the tongue is saying, more, more, more. And then finally the person ends up with constipation or indigestion or whatever. And nahi khana chahiye tha itna. So what was the problem? The sense was the problem. Tongue was the problem. Right? It is very clearly said. Now today morning I was quoting the shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jivere lalsa iti uti dhai Krishna dhara parayana, Shishno dhara parayana Krishna nahi paaye. So it is said that jivere lalsa, this voracious eater, which is the tongue, that desires what this tongue has. We go around and round and round to fulfill the desires of this tongue. Jivera lalsa iti uti dhai. And Shishno udara parayana Krishna nahi paaye. The person who surrendered to the tongue, to the belly and to the genitals can never attain Krishna. And the fact of this world is 99% of the crowd, or in fact we can say 99.99% of the crowd, is surrendered to Jiva, Udara and Shishna. That is tongue, belly and genitals. And people are just running around working hard like donkeys just to meet the needs of these three. Analyze the point. Sometimes people say that papi pet ka sawal hai. Kyun kaam kar rahe papi pet ke liye. They call it as papi but still feed nicely. So it's all because of uncontrolled senses. Look at what Hiranyakashipu had. Hiranyakashipu had all the demigods under his control. We just have tube light and fan under our control. He had demigods under his control and just he didn't have remote control. His remote controls were his eyebrows. He would just raise his eyebrow and things will work according to his desire. But still this person was terribly unsatisfied. Unsatisfied. Whatever a human being can think of to the core that was there with Hiranyakashipu. And still he was unsatisfied. He was dissatisfied. And this is the proof that a person can never become satisfied with material needs because we are spirit souls. A spirit soul, Jivatma, can never become happy with material opulence. Never. A Jivatma can be happy only with the spiritual bliss that is coming from Akhila Rasamrita Murti Krishna. Only then the Jivatma can be happy. And the proof is when we are chanting properly, when we are hearing properly, when we are reading properly, when we are in kirtan, not with the devotees, we feel happy, we feel blissful. That's the proof. So the spirit soul needs are spiritual, not material. But unfortunately, we think that our needs are material and we go on searching and searching and searching for various material things. We amass all those things in our life, but still we remain unhappy. And a person dies out of this unhappiness. Even if he has the best of the best possessions in the house, but still the person dies of not being happy. Now, tell me which person when he's dying is happy. I'm talking about a materialist. But a devotee challenges. Who will come first? Krishna will come first or death will come first? Let me see. By sincere sadhana, a devotee challenges the death. Let me see who will come first. No, you will come first or my Krishna will come first. So devotee is with that mood. Devotee is transcendental. He has in a different mood altogether. Right. So this, at least by this purport, this sloka, we have to be clear that nothing material can give us happiness. Nothing. Only thing that can give us happiness is Krishna consciousness. Without Krishna consciousness, we are hollow. Completely hollow. Now, like when we see a pipe, we can see through. We can see through the pipe from the hole. That's what is our case. We are completely hollow without Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is that only person who can fill that unlimited emptiness which is there in the heart. Because Krishna is unlimited. Only he can fill that unlimited emptiness in the heart. Whatever material happiness which is there, those are like small drops. And this unlimited emptiness that is there in the heart, when you put a drop in that, what it will fill? What it will fill? Only Purnam Adha Purnam Idam, that is Krishna, who is Purna, he can fill this emptiness which is there in our heart. Right? And that's what Hiranyakashipu was missing. Hiranyakashipu had everything in his life, but he was not having sense control. And sense control is got only by practicing bhakti. There is no other way. There's no other way to control senses. No other way. So it's already 8:05. No, I could have spoken more about sense control. Maybe in some other context we can speak about sense control. So we stop here. If you have some questions, we'll take questions. And then we'll recite the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. If Lord is Atmaram, then why did he create us instead of living alone? So it is described that we all are eternal like Lord. We all are eternal. We are his part and parcel, but we are eternal like him. And when it comes to the creation, so Lord has not created any of us. We are eternal like Lord. This is what Prabhupada says. So we are eternal with the Lord, and we are assisting the Lord in his pastimes right from time immemorial. And now don't ask what was the time when it began. Prabhupada says it just began. Because this tiny mind cannot understand, this tiny brain cannot understand when did it start. So the start and end which is there, that only we can understand in this material world. But when it comes to spiritual aspect, we can never understand what is the start and what is the end. Because it does not have a start and does not have an end. Right? So when it comes to your question, firstly, Lord has not created the spirit souls. We exist eternally with the Lord. And our role is to serve the Lord for His pleasure and to give Him that pleasure through our service by assisting Him in His pastimes. That is what is our role. Why Krishna have not taken Radha, his parents and other people to Dwarka? Is it because he is Atmaram? The pain of separation of Radha and other associates from Krishna is beyond imagination. So, okay, by the way, when we address Srimati Radharani, we have to address as Srimati Radharani, not just Radha. She's not our friend. So, yes, now when it comes to Srimati Radharani, it will be difficult to comprehend. You know, I can answer, but I don't know how much we'll be able to understand because we are still in the basic sessions. So, there are two ways of becoming happy. It will be a huge bouncer, but still try to catch. The two ways to become happy. One is called a sambhog and another is called as vipralamba. Sambhog is the happiness when it comes to meeting. So when the person meets, when two people meet, there is a lot of happiness that is there. So that is called a sambhog. And when it comes to vipralamba, the happiness in separation. So the happiness that is there in separation is much, much, much greater than the happiness in sambhog. And that happiness Krishna wanted to give to Srimati Radharani and everyone there. I know it's a bouncer. I know it's a bouncer. But just to give some clarification. So when Krishna was separated or when Krishna left Vrindavan, Radharani and Yashoda Mai and everyone, all the gopis, all the gopas, they were completely immersed in the thoughts of Krishna. And that was giving them a lot of bliss. And another googly that I would like to throw here is Krishna never left Vrindavan. So Brajendranandan Shamsundar never leaves Vrindavan. The one who left Vrindavan was Vasudev Krishna. So it's an expansion of the Lord. Obviously, there's no difference between the two Krishnas, but still, Brajendranandan Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And Vasudev Krishna was the one who left Vrindavan. So anyways, when it comes to when we get close to Janmashtami, we'll have a series on Janmashtami, those Leelas. Then we'll get into the details of who is Vasudev Krishna, who is Brajendranandan Krishna and so on and so forth. So sorry, Prabhu, I confused you more. But this is the point, you know, which I wanted to make. How to maintain humility even after performing services, because we feel that we are sitting on the seventh cloud even after performing very little service. Just talk to your guide. Guide will help. So our Shiksha Gurus, our counselors are there to serve us very nicely. Now we go to the seventh cloud and they pull us down, bury us down. That is what is their role. So we can approach them and tell them I'm getting proud because of this. I do that. Whenever I get some thoughts like that, I tell to my Shiksha Guru. He helps me to come down. If we glorify Krishna, we'll be purified. If we glorify devotees, do we get the same results? Yeah, we get the same results. Because pure devotees who are there, they are very close to Krishna. Sakshat dharitvena samasta shastre. So, all the shastras are talking about this one thing, that the pure devotees are very close to Krishna and they are equivalent to Krishna. They are not Krishna. They are equivalent to Krishna. Why? Kintu prabhoreva priya eva tasya. Because they are very, very close to Krishna. So since they are very close to Krishna, they have qualities of Krishna. And when we glorify the qualities of the devotee, we are glorifying Krishna indirectly. So yes, we get the same results when we glorify the devotees. In fact, I would say we get more results than glorifying Krishna. When we glorify devotees, we get more results because Krishna is very happy when we glorify devotees. And when Krishna is happy, everything is possible. Yes. That is the reason Bhagavatam, no, it's more of glorification of devotees than Krishna. Then can we logically conclude that the number of souls in the multi-universe is constant? Also, how can we then say that the origin is Krishna? Is it from the perspective that we part of Krishna split and not in terms of souls being created? See, this is a very, very critical subject matter, you know, which is very complicated to understand. Firstly, when it comes to spirit souls will not split. So when we say we are part and parcel of Krishna, we talk about the quality. So we are in one in quality with Krishna. And then when it comes to constant number of living entities, yes. Constant number of living entities, but that constant number can never be calculated. And then when we say that Krishna is the origin of everything, yes, Krishna is the origin of everything because the qualities that we have is from Krishna. So everything that we have is from Krishna. Everything. And also when it comes to this world and everything. Right? But our existence is there with Krishna from time immemorial. This is what is the point that is made. Is near-death experience actually real? Obviously, it's real. You know, we had a class on this, right? I don't know if you have attended that class. So, you know, we had a class where we were talking about this, that how we are different from this body. We are spirit soul. And then when we said that we are spirit souls, so we were clear of one point, that how we are spirit souls. By giving the example of reincarnation, near-death experience, and some logical explanations. So when it comes to near-death experience, the soul comes out of the body for some time and enters the body back. And a lot of case studies are there. Even science has proved that. But yes, science is not able to understand what is coming out of the body. So they just call it as out-of-body experience. Near-death experience is called as out-of-body experience. So it's real. No, it's real. It's factual. You can read some things about that. Is there any mention of what percentage of spirit souls are in our universe versus others versus Vaikuntha? How has this changed over time? So this world is called as Ekpad Vibhuti and the spiritual world is called as Tripad Vibhuti. So this world is 1/4 of Lord's creation and the spiritual world is 3/4 of Lord's creation. Now, you know, with the ratios, you can just see, you know, how many spirit souls are there in both the places. So in this 1/4 place, there's so many souls. Yes. So just imagine in 3/4 place, you know, how many will be there. In fact, it's described that very, very minute number of souls are there in the material world. Very minute. Now you can imagine what will be there in the spiritual world. Only the most abominable people are there in this material world. So they are sent here. So we are those fortunate souls who got stuck in this material world. Yes, but Vaikuntha, because it's not just one Vaikuntha planet. Please understand, there are infinite number of Vaikuntha planets. And you know, there is huge Goloka Vrindavan. And in the Goloka Vrindavan also, there are many, many different places. There are different planets. You know, with Dwarka planet is there, Mathura planet is there, and all these different planets are there. So it's huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. So huge number of living entities are there. Okay. How has this changed over time? Not much change. Because hardly few people go from here to the spiritual world. So not much change. Yes. Because in the infinite ocean, if you put few drops of water, you know, it hardly matters. That's what is the case. No. So there is no change as such if you properly analyze. Hope this answers your question.